It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high hopes. Smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Celebrate responsibly. It's Miller time, Philadelphia, and Jack Fritz, it's baseball time. We've made it. We actually saw games that mattered. We lost one of them. But you know what? 2-1, a classic 2-1. I think every single High Hopes listener knew that when they heard this pod, it would be about a 2-of-3 and not a sweep. I don't think there was anyone watching the game yesterday, Fritz, who actually thought they would sweep. So how you doing, pal?
Well, first off, all games matter. Just letting you know, even spring training games, they're all important. So I want you please lock in.
Totally.
Second off, where are you? I can't see you. I have no idea what you look like right
now.
This is weird.
Smiling? Yeah, this is weird. This is weird. So it's so funny because this is inside baseball for everyone. So we are not in the same room. Jack is going to the ballpark to do a show today, so not at the studio. So we're doing it over Skype. We can't see each other. This is how we recorded like the first, 500 podcasts we did. And we haven't done it in years. And it feels like I've never done it before. It feels so weird not being able to see you. Yeah.
Because my biggest concern was at one point, it was, hold on. Like, I don't know if I can do a pod where I have to look at you in the eye.
And, I remember. And then, yeah, you would like always look away from me. I'm staring right at you.
Yeah, you're like a tractor beam.
Oh, I look right in the eyes. I don't mess around.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm not an eye. You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah. Like, hold on. People think, I think the biggest misconception about me is that loves the attention, loves it. No. When the lights get too bright, I'm somewhere else. You know what
it's
I mean?
So
I think that's a big misconception.
It's so true. And like, if you get to know Jack, you will learn that what he just said is the truth. I'm the one who's like, hello, everybody. And Jack's
Hi.
Like, Jack's like, don't look at me. Don't notice me. I'm over here in the corner. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but also definitely notice me because I'll be upset.
Yeah, but you do like it when it happens, though. Yeah.
Again, it's like the only perk of this. But yes, the Phillies are back. And I think someone tweeted at us that like they convert at about 40%.
Dude, so I was going to bring this up. I took it. So I have a picture of it. I think it was believe Big Tasty on Twitter. Yeah. Right. So Big Tasty Cake, John T. Siffle on Twitter said, since he always talks about how it feels inevitable that the Phillies will fail to complete a 3-game sweep, not only is it true, but it stacks up horribly. He went through and did an analysis of like all the top contending teams over since 2019, since the Phillies have been in it. And like the best teams, like the Dodgers, 78% sweep rate, 75% for the Braves, the Guardians, 73, the Astros, 71, 72, like all this stuff up there. The Philadelphia Phillies, 40% of the time. We've been right the whole time, Jack, the whole time.
And the best part is that it's not like the Phillies have been a bad team during that time.
Exactly.
They haven't even been bad. They've been very good. Well, pretty good for a majority of that. They can't do it. They can't do it. The worst thing that happens is they win the first game of the series. That's when you know things are going downhill. That's when you know things are falling apart.
You're so right. It's so funny.
But again, we'll definitely take it. We always take 2 of 3. That's it. Hey, if you could put
win 2 of 3 all year, you're going to have the best record in baseball.
Yeah. If you could put one. Well, there's a lot of high hope sayings that I would like on a T-shirt. I wish. In a perfect world, as we develop our T-shirt game, you know, by the way, if you ever want a High Hopes T-shirt, go to Breaking Tee. We should eventually just get all the dumb sayings on the back of the T-shirt.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh.
I mean, who let the Phils get hot was an old one.
A classic. You
know, but goody. And then
I mean, Phils are back. You just said that one. That's a classic.
Yeah, just a big yo.
Big yo.
You know what I mean? Like
totally.
A big yo.
This is great. This is a great idea.
We're getting a lot of ideas out here. So, well, I'm sure that's definitely going to come together at some point.
Yeah. That'll happen. I'm sure. Yes. We're very good at executing on these things, you know?
Mm-mm. We're strictly, hey, you know what we are? We're ideas.
That's right.
Someone else has to
execute. We just talk, all right? You know, you're asking anything else from us, you're making a mistake, you know?
I agree.
All right, let's dive in, Fritzy. How you feeling? You know, what was the weekend all you expected it to be?
No, because my whole life right now is a big old adjustment. So
yeah, you're going through it right now. I feel like every time I hang out with you or talk to you, we somehow come back to the fact that you have 2 kids, 2 and under at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's a lot. but it's great.
It's great. But it's a lot. But it's great.
Yesterday I missed like the first like 4 innings, because I was like I had to go run and go grocery shopping and then go to Ace and then go get diapers somewhere else. You know. So it is what it is. I got back. I watched it. I rewatched Knowles today. Saturday. You know, I had a whole idea of, oh, man, like we're going to sit outside. My neighbors will bring the TV over. We'll be outdoors. And then Walker doesn't nap. And then, you know, so I'm in and out watching the game. You know, I'm like all I could think about. I mean, so last night I put Walker to sleep. But what often happens when I put Walker asleep is I fall asleep. So like an idiot. I woke up at like 10:15. He's asleep. I get out of bed, whatever. And then I can't sleep because I basically just took like a 30-minute nap. So it was like 11:30 at night. I'm grinding buddy. Jesus Lizardo tape. And then I couldn't stop thinking about Jesus Lizardo. So listen, it's all an adjustment. I'm so glad they're back. I wish I could just sit down and watch a baseball game, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know. It's all good, but they're back. And Jesus Lizardo, I just want to talk about him for 45 minutes.
Oh, dude, he was so fun. He was so nasty, dude. Oh, my God. Like, his fastball just has such life on it. He's awesome, man. He is so much fun. 11 Ks. Let's go.
11 Ks in 5 innings.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So the biggest thing with Lizardo is, and I don't know if it's going to happen, James. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to be an efficient pitcher. Because
five innings, that's the point with 5 innings. He only went 5 innings. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. His stuff might move too much. You know, he's sort of like he's sort of like Snell and Cease. You know what I mean? Where Snell, disgusting, but usually it's five innings. Dylan Cease, now he's getting more efficient as he's getting a little bit older, but for a majority of his career, like, he looked disgusting for five innings. And you don't want to, like, tell Jesus to not go all out with the stuff that he has, because it's part of what makes him a really interesting pitcher. But I can't wait for, like, a month from now, because I think that the more and more he works with Gotham, the more and more he works with this Phillies pitching coaching staff, you know, I just think that the upside for him is ridiculous. I mean, he let up the home run, whatever. Kevin Ruiz had a good weekend, fine. But it was over freaking powering stuff.
Yeah, he looked dominating. You know, for again, the homer happened, and Ruiz, he was the only one who hit Wheeler too. It's weird. He was having a good weekend, like you said. But yeah, I mean, Lizardo was the kind of stuff where it just pops. You know, you could see it. It passes the eye test. We're big eye test men, as you know. You know, it just passed it. Like, I think there are a lot of Phillies fans, you know, obviously not listeners of this pod, who've been hearing Jesus Lizardo's name for literally years now on this podcast. But I think there are probably a lot of Phillies fans who, you know, don't remember really what that one playoff start was like and really had no idea what to expect. And were probably, like, pretty blown away by the stuff that he brought.
Well, and the thing is that I think he's just starting to tap into, you know, like the sweeper, right, that we talked about. He, like, just learned that, and he was tinkering with it in spring training. And then he saw it he was throwing like bullet sweepers to right-handed hitters, just burying them, which isn't traditionally how it happens. It's not the best comp, because I think his stuff is better than this guy. But he really reminds me of a young Francisco Liriano. When, ooh, like, remember that?
What
first
young?
Time?
Yeah, young Liriano was freaking awesome.
When he burst onto the scene,
in Minnesota,
former,
yeah,
Philly Francisco Liriano.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're right. I forgot that too.
Who could forget? But it's power. He can keep it down. He added, like, it's like 4 miles an hour harder than the average sweeper. So I think the more and more he hones that in off of the changeup, like, I think as the season goes along, he's probably going to use his fastball less and less. Like, I think he should probably use his sinker more, because I think his sinker is actually better than the one that he can throw, like, 98. Like, if he could hit that sinker at 96 and kind of just follow the Chris Sanchez plan, you know, I think that, again, I just think the upside is so ridiculous. And it was just nice seeing, like, battle through some things, because, you know, just being able to do that. And not just, you know, first time back on the mound, Kevin Ruiz took a yard and not letting that kind of unravel your entire outing, I thought was huge. So, again, I haven't stopped thinking about him.
I love it.
I just haven't. Yeah. He's amazing.
No,
he's
he amazing. Was amazing. So I want to get to the other pitchers, but I think we'd be remiss. We're already 10 minutes into the pod, and we have not mentioned the bats, the shadows, Trey with the injury, you know. Well, as excited as I am about Lizardo, I think, you know, we came in saying, all right, Trey Turner, like, most important guy in a lot of ways, and was not a great first weekend for Trey, Jack. And the shadows and the bats and the Sunday hitting and, you know, Mitchell Parker and Mackenzie Gore, who are both, you know, talented young pitchers, but looking like absolute superstars against the Phillies. Where are you at? It's been so much time. And again, it's the first weekend. Uh-huh. You know I'm not going to overreact. But
you would never.
How are you feeling about the whole thing?
What was it? 17 and a third against National starters, and they scored two runs?
Yeah, the Mackenzie Gore to start the year like that. It was just – and look, the pitches were around the zone. Like, he was good, you know, but –
Well, I think they were surprised at how in the zone.
I think so too.
They were like, well, he's eventually going to fall out of the zone.
They were just falling behind a 1-0-2. Like, it felt like every batter.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Nationals bullpen just continues to, like, they almost came back in the ninth yesterday. You know, they brought in that kid that was working at Home Depot, and he walked the bases loaded, or with two walks and a hit. They couldn't ultimately break through against, dude, Brandon Finnegan is just going to pitch against us until, I mean, you're going to be in your 50s, James.
Oh, I know.
And Brandon Finnegan is still going to be.
I feel like I've seen him just so many times already. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gotten really good.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll give him mostly a pass on the first game. I mean, So it's not even just the shadows. There's also a glare in center field that affects everything. So and I think it's like a, I think it's like a unwritten thing in baseball, like especially even when you're down there and like through the players, that playing at 4 o'clock at Nats Park is like a waste of everyone's time. I mean, I don't think that Bohm has the reaction he has after the game. Like, first off, Bohm never shows emotion. Well, he shows emotion, but not positive emotion. He, after the game, was just like, this is stupid, right?
Like, basically, it was like, he basically was like, hey, you know, maybe we should not play 4 o'clock so we can give him a good product. Like, he was like indignant about it. You're right. It did not sound like Alec Bohm when he was talking, because you never hear him talk that. We'll see him, like you've talked about, freak out in the dugout. You never hear him talk that animatedly.
Mm-mm. And by the way, right after the game, he was right back to old Alec, you know, in the post-game pressers or post-game availability.
Oh, but so, yeah, barely lifting his voice, super boring. Yeah, exactly.
I know. So, you know, first game, obviously, whatever. They came back, scored a lot of runs. And Saturday, you know, Saturday, they scored 11 runs. It can't be too down about that. I think everyone's obviously obsessed with the approaches. And I know the first game, I think, sent shivers down their spine, you know, with the first six innings. But I think for the most part, it's been fine.
Second or third in the league in walks. I mean, you like to see that.
Well, Castellanos has four.
It's unbelievable. I know.
And I don't think he's happy about it.
I know.
I think Casty hates walking.
I do too.
Like, he walked, I think, in game one. And I think he like threw his bat down.
He absolutely threw his bat down. Without a doubt, threw his bat down. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, we'll see how the Rockies should not be a problem, even though they added Mickey, you know, so watch out for the Rockies. Really, the big test is going to be obviously these next two weekends against against the Dodgers and Braves, and the winless Braves, by the way, James.
0-4, buddy. How about your boy last night? I mean, I thought you were going to say you woke up and you watched Nick Pivetta twirl a masterpiece. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, again, I'm over Nick. You know,
when he gets good, I think this is a good bit by you.
It's already over. He's long gone.
You won. I was right. He's good. Yeah, you won. I get it. It's good.
Dude, seven shutty against the Braves.
One hit.
Nick Pivetta doing that. Just, I can't compute it. Honestly.
I know. It was so ridiculous.
Because every time he pitched against the Braves here, he had a meltdown. Yep. There was a 0% chance he was going to pitch well. He could not handle it. So I don't know. I think the biggest thing that I'm encouraged by off the weekend is I feel like I'm just seeing them taking this whole thing more seriously.
Me, dude, that's my number one takeaway too. I totally agree. The no daycare stuff, the not messing around. Like, it feels like they're serious.
It's a workman's like approach. Now, at the same time, you don't want them to lose the fun because it is a 162 game season. So, although 158 now, you get the point.
Ooh,
it's a long season.
59. It's bad math, but
whatever. There's ups and downs. It's gonna start getting hot. They're gonna start getting annoyed with each other. I think it's hard to be like dead serious all the time. You know, I want them to at least still show some emotion. And maybe they're like looking at what the Eagles did and said, look, they were businesslike. At the same time, they play once a week, so it's a little bit easier. And football, I think, is more natural to be locked in. So I appreciate it from the beginning of the season. I hope it's something they can keep up, but I don't want them to like lose the ability to have fun playing baseball because it's a long season. I think you'll drive yourself nuts. But at least for the first weekend, you know, the no post-game water dumps, the no daycare. And really Bryce, like I think Bryce, from a leadership standpoint, it looks like to me, he's taking the bull by the horns here and saying like, cause it's his legacy that's on the line. And I think he's just like, all right, I'm going to put more of this on my shoulders. And it's creating a nice dynamic where Schwarber is you're a great player, be a great player. It's a long season. You'll be fine. And Bryce, a little bit more of the, we got a lock in guy. I think it could create a really nice dynamic.
I think it's huge. Honestly, I think it's so important for this team. We've talked a lot, and look, I think, you know, Schwarber, he's clearly a great leader. The stuff Dombrowski said about him, all that stuff, he's important in that forum. And, you know, your best player doesn't have to be your leader, but people look to the best player on the team. People look towards that guy, whether they're a leader or not, they're going to look to them for leadership. It's just going to happen, especially when you're not only the best player on the team, but you're like by far the most famous and are you know, one of the most famous players in the sport. Like there is a leadership expectation that comes with that role. Like, and Bryce has always, you know, it's not like he has shirked leadership, but it's never felt like we just talked about, where it's always like, oh, who's the leader of the team? Oh, it's Kyle Schwarber. Like, if Bryce can do it, if he get, to your point, take the bull by the horns, like, that is the best setup for this team. Like, Bryce Harper should be the leader of this team if he is capable and willing, and it seems like both of those things are occurring.
Well, because I think Bryce's leadership is of the almost Utley-ish way, which is lead by example.
See what I do and do it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's great when you have Rollins, and when you have a Worth and a Howard and a veteran team, which the Phillies are a veteran team. But I just the first game, how he talked before the game, how he the most striking thing that Bryce said before the game was, I want the young guys to put the pressure on us.
Yep.
Like, put the pressure on me, JT, Schwarber, Trey, Castellanos. And what's so funny about that is that the young guys are 28 and 27.
I know. I know.
It's not, and they've been here for, you know, a good amount of time. But still, you get the point. They, because I think that that's the thing with Bohm, is that Bohm puts a ton of pressure on himself, and it ends up hurting him rather than helping him. And I just love that. I love that message. And when you're star, you're one of the faces of baseball, says, put it on us, we'll handle it. I love that. So I thought before the game was interesting. You know, he just said the daycare is over. It was only one weekend, but I think the Bryce step up in leadership and kind of, again, taking over this thing was really noticeable.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And I love that Bryce said that too. I think that's an example of, I think he's saying the right things. Now, I don't think that actually ends up being true. I don't think there's any way for those guys to avoid pressure. If pressure finds you, it finds you. But I do appreciate Bryce saying that and putting that out there. And to your point, overall, taking more of a leadership role. And I agree with you. I think it's because he knows, you know, at the end of the day, all these guys want to win. Like, there's only one guy where it's like his whole legacy is dependent. Like, look, everyone's legacy is dependent upon winning. We know that in sports, rings help create legacies and they're part of legacies and all that. But as great as a lot of these guys are, and Zach Wheeler, you know, is truly great, like, none of them have what Bryce has on his shoulders. None of them have that, you know, pressure to be the one of the greatest of all time, have come into the league with that, have won the two MVPs, have been one of the best players in the sport for over a decade. Like, he has all that stuff on his shoulders already. And when you're those guys, the top of the top guys, like, it's going to be one of the first things mentioned. Like, Barry Bonds, you know, the best hitter I've ever seen in my life. We've talked about it. But him not winning a World Series, even though he was great in the one World Series he was in, is one of the first things you think of when you think about Barry Bonds' legacy. Like, it is just, it's just part of the deal. And I think Bryce knows that, and he's trying to do everything he can to win a championship.
That's one of the things to think about with Bonds.
Of course, there are others,
there's a lot.
Well, he was a really good fielder, too. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Right. Well, and I think I brought this up on the air. You know, let's say, God forbid, they don't win a title, which I try not to think about often because it makes me sad. But let's say they never win a title. When it's all said and done, no one's going to say Zach Wheeler wasn't one of the best big game pitchers that we've seen.
Totally.
And you know, I think there obviously will be some NOLA thing if they never win a title. You know, it's just going to happen. By the way, I mean, NOLA is just—he's going to end. He's going to finish his career with the second most strikeouts in team history. Mm-hmm. He's going to pass Schilling and no, he already passed Schilling. He's going to pass Robin Roberts this year and someone else. It's just like he's going to pass 10 years of service time this year, James, which feels ridiculous.
It does.
When it's all said and done, I can just tell Giglio at some point is going to make a Hall of Fame case for Aaron NOLA. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just sense it, because he's probably going to end his career with 2,500 strikeouts. I mean, he's at 1,780 something now. He's probably going to get to 2,500 if things go well.
If he stays on the path that he's been on, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so like Wheeler's legacy, I think winning a World Series, obviously that actually would really help his Hall of Fame case, because he's kind of putting together a Kelsey like run here. Like Kelsey was almost getting traded before the 2017 season.
Totally.
And then he ripped off six or seven straight first team all pros. And Wheeler's kind of doing that right now. But like Harper's the one, like Schwarber already has a ring. Everyone knows that. Trey already has a ring. It's really Harper. It's Harper that it's the perfect cherry on top to what has been a pretty charmed baseball life. And like, again, Sports Illustrated at 16, graduating high school and going to college and being the number one overall pick and debuting and the MVP in 15 and hitting Bedlam at the bank, the MVP in 20. It's just, it feels so right and so perfect that to close this whole thing out, he'll probably get the 500 home runs, but it's just, it just doesn't hit the same without a ring. It just doesn't. I mean, Schmidt got one. He won MVP and World Series MVP, and he got one. Harper needs to get one.
Yeah.
He just has to get one for again, a cherry on top on what was what is an unbelievable career.
Yeah, no, he has to get one. I agree, for his resume to be full, so to speak. And look, to that point too, or to the Harper point about him knowing that, it's because, like we've talked about so many times, I don't ever remember an athlete who knew more what it meant for his legacy for him to win. Like, Bryce Harper is such a baseball nerd. Like, you know, we've heard him on the broadcast, all that stuff. Like, he is baseball and nothing else. You know, it's all the guy cares about, and he cares about the history of the game, and he loves the history of the game and all that stuff. So it's not just that he needs it for his legacy. It's that he knows how much he needs it for his legacy, and that fuels it even more. I desperately want this guy to win a title, Jack. Like, I really, we really need to get this guy a title, man. Like, I really,
it would be a tragedy.
You know, tragedy, there are real tragedies in life. I get it. But in terms of sports, this would be a sports tragedy if he doesn't get a World Series title.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, good signs in the first week. And by the way, he's ripping the baseball.
Oh, that was tank shot on Thursday. Tank shot.
And a couple just hard hit singles. And maybe a nice little 300 average year for Bryce. Maybe. But yes, Schwarber turns out pretty good.
My fan, there were like 8,000 people who tweeted it, but I liked every single one of them. The fact that he hit the solo homer in the cleanup spot and then the 3-run shot when he's leading off is just, it's a chef's kiss. Like, it's so perfect. Yep. I love it. It's just so freaking funny.
Do you think Rob Thompson like winked at the fan base yesterday?
I guarantee you, Rob was like, "You're damn right, man. He's sitting there like, you're damn right." Okay, just so you guys get it.
Well, not only did he put Schwarber back in the leadoff spot, he put Boehm too.
I know,
which might be the slowest. Which is a slower one too? That or Hoskins or Schwarber and Hoskins?
I think it's Schwarber and Hoskins, but it's close.
Dude, I actually don't think. I think Boehm.
You think Boehm's slower than Hoskins. He might. They are in the same hemisphere. That's for sure.
He is. So slow. Yeah. I mean, it is unbelievable for how tall he is. Like, I mean, he's grounded.
Yeah, you would think he would go fast enough just based on the amount of ground he covers with each step. Like, it's crazy.
He can't do it. Yeah. And that's why he grounds into so many double plays.
It's unbelievable. I know.
When he swung first pitch yesterday.
I know.
It was only game three. I told myself that over and over again. It's only game three. But I was seeing red. I was seething.
I'm guessing you were not the only one at that point, Jack.
It's the Nationals bullpen. Let them be the Nationals bullpen. You don't have to swing first pitch. And, you know, his strike, the whole offseason was like, oh, well, you know, you need that kind of bat in the lineup. He doesn't strike out. Well, he also swings a bunch of first pitches and doesn't always do whatever. It's fine. Mm. Only game three. Not going to overreact. He had a big hit in game one, so it all evens out. But take a pitch.
All right, yeah, please. A couple things before we get to the take bag. Back to Turner real quick, because we didn't really talk about it much. But are you concerned at all about the back spasms? Is this just like a no big deal type thing, or does it worry you at all?
So here's what I can't figure out. What is a back spasm?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I had back spasms.
Yeah. Is it just like back pain? Like, we,
I don't know. What does that mean?
Is it like his back like actually spasming and he's like shaking? I doubt it.
That's what I can't. So I'm because I have little spasms.
Yeah, I'm going to say I doubt it is my guess.
Yeah. I would assume they're more painful than that. obviously I hate everything. I mean, with a back, whenever I hear back, I get,
it's not good.
And he said that he's never dealt with anything like this before, I believe. So definitely don't love that. But I guess he's probably going to be in the lineup today, and we'll see how
it
looks.
I thought he was probably not going to be in the lineup today. Is he going to be in
the... Thompson said he's hoping that he'll get here in the lineup today. But at the same time, I guess because he's a home opener and he wanted to do all the pomp and circumstance. But, you could just sit him today and have him back on Wednesday and give it a few more days, but whatever. So I just always at the back, I'm always concerned. Because what stunk about last year is I feel like the hamstring really hampered he was playing really well, and the hamstring happened, and it kind of obviously fell apart in a way. But I hope he's in there today. I wouldn't hate if he's out today, but I get it. It's the home opener. You want everyone to play, and hope for the best.
Yeah, yeah. I want him to make sure he's healthy. Like, obviously, don't push it or whatever because it's the home opener, but. It's just frustrating. I think a lot, we were all ready for Trey to kind of do something. And then it's like, oh, he's out.
Well, and what stunk is I really liked the lineup on opening day. I mean, I liked Harper in the two spot. I liked Bohm in the three spot because having someone that can control the bat in that situation with either Harper on Harper or Turner on the faces, and you got to get a job done, whether that's a ball to the outfield or hitting the ball to the right side and letting those guys kind of go first to third, whatever. I liked Bohm, and I do like Schwarber in the four spot. I don't think it matters where he hits. I think he's going to be okay. What are we doing with JT at the five spot?
Oh, it's crazy. And then he was cleanup the next day. Like, what are we doing? It's insanity.
Are they seeing something that we're not?
Apparently.
I get that he's one of the leaders, and I get that
he should be batting eight or whatever. What are we doing here? Yeah,
just put Castellanos there.
Castellanos is clearly a better hitter. Like, it's not even they're not in the same hemisphere as hitters right now.
Well, and what I find interesting is, they're all about how these guys feel, right? And it's this guy likes sitting here. This guy likes sitting here. Castellanos has said multiple times, I like hitting higher in the lineup because I'm surrounded by hitters, and they're still like, nah, you're going to hit seven. it's not like he was their second most productive hitter for a good portion of the season last year. It's not like this is not the beginning of last year, Castellanos. So, and he's walked four times. Again, it's that he's not chasing. He's locking in. If they go back to the lineup, when they go back to the lineup, Just put Castellanos there. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. The Real Muto thing is crazy to me. I made no sense when I saw the lineup. I got nothing. I got nothing. And he's looked horrible, obviously, too. Obviously, he had that triple, quote-unquote, in game one.
Catch the ball, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, it was in your glove, buddy. Like, what are we doing?
By the way, tough opening weekend for Dylan Cruz. What did he strike out? Nine straight at-bats.
I think it was a record, right? It was something like that.
It was something.
Not a great start for Dylan Cruz.
He's gonna be fine. I wasn't the biggest Cruz guy. The Nationals have done this rebuild thing. They've really gotten bailed out by that Soto trade. Getting
Wood and Abrams and all that. Yeah.
Because the other draft picks, well, Gore too.
And Gore too. Wow, that was a great trade. Wow.
What was so interesting about the trade at the time is that a lot of those guys had fallen off pedigree wise. Besides Wood.
Yeah, Wood was still highly ranked. Yeah.
Dude, James Wood flipping that ball off Lizardo to the left field wall.
Oh, I know.
Jarring. It was jarring. But without that trade, it's Cruz. They have some other kids that. Brady House, but he's just a guy. They had another top five pick who's not even one of their top 10 prospects
right
now.
So yikes.
They've gotten dealt out by that trade, but we don't need to do Nationals breakdowns.
No, that was the extent of it right there. We're done. We're it's over.
Oh, speaking of the Nationals.
You got more? Oh, good. Yeah.
But whatever. So, listen, I know they lost, but, you know, it's kind of funny now when Josh Bell hits home runs.
Oh, is it funny?
I think it actually turned funny.
I was so sure he was going to hit home run in that spot, too. I was like, I will bet everything I have. Plus, who tweeted?
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I saw something. Hold on. I think I took a picture of it. Where it was like, I think it was maybe John Foley who tweeted out, but... where actually, like, it's a list of the players with a certain number of... Here it is. It was John Foley tweeted out. So entering today, and this was prior to the homer, Josh Bell was one of 10 active major league hitters with at least 15 home runs and an OPS over 850 against the Phillies. The other players on this list are Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, ironically, Juan Soto, Matt Olson, Anthony Rendon, Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna, Andrew McCutchen, and then it's Michael Conforto and Josh Bell are the two, like, we kill the Phillies more than we kill other teams. Everyone else is just a great player who kills everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Conforto was a legend up with the Mets. Mm-hmm. Up with the Mets. Yep. So don't look, I'm not looking forward to Conforto if the Phillies play the Dodgers in the NLCS.
I forgot, but they picked him up. That's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Turns out the Dodgers are pretty good.
Yeah.
Not a hot start for Roki Sasaki, though.
No. They're still 5-0 or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, they're still 5-0. So, yeah. I don't know. When Josh Bell hit the home run, it was kind of like nature's healing. In a way.
I don't know if that's the way I would have gone with it, but yeah, sure. I like
it's
that.
It's just like, hey, it's kind of funny now. It's now when he gets dealt midseason.
And he dates it in the playoffs, it's less funny. Yes, you're right. Yeah. When it's on the Nationals, it's like, oh, it's adorable. Look at Josh Bell. Yeah.
I don't think, I still, I don't, I think he's number one for me. Because, like, Ryan Braun...
No, because, again, all the others are great players. Like, he is, like... Yeah. Like, Josh Bell becomes a superstar when he plays the Phillies. Everyone else is usually already a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brian McCann, Freeman. Yeah. I got it.
These guys were all multiple-time All-Stars or Hall of Famers in some cases. You know?
When we're doing that, when we're doing this podcast 20 to 25 years from now... Mm. We're going to be telling people about the Josh Bell run.
Yes, we will. You're right.
2019 to 2025 and what it was like.
Yeah. It was like. It is unlike anything else. I mean, especially because he's like bounced around the freaking league. It's so crazy. All right.
He always ends up playing the Phillies sometime.
Of course he does.
I mean, it's Padres, Marlins.
It's always a National League team, it seems, for them. Yes.
It's remarkable. He was a guardian. I think the Guardians picked him up the weekend before they went out there a couple of years ago, and it was Bryce's debut at first base. He was in Arizona last year, I think, when they went down there to play them. It's just, they know what to do. Trey is not in the lineup.
Yeah, I just saw that. So JT back in the lineup, Trey not in the lineup, which we're good with. Give him the extra rest, you know, if you got a bag thing. All right, two more things from me, and then we'll get to the take bag, and maybe these things are already in there. But Nola first. I thought, you know, it wasn't great, but I thought Nola was okay yesterday. I didn't think he was as bad as the five runs. What did you think of Nola yesterday?
I thought he was mostly fine. Like I know the home runs happened. I didn't know. I guess watching the starts last year.
Did he give up 30 homers last year?
I didn't realize he led the National League in home runs.
I know, dude. I know. He did it again somehow.
Did it again. That's a Hall of Famer. But yeah, I thought again he struck out a ton of guys, which was nice. He did keep the ball down. I thought he was actually good. I think that umpire does not work well with Nola because Nola needs that down and away pitch and he was not giving it to him. So obviously you don't want to see the home runs happen. You want more solo shots rather than, you know, obviously the multi-run home runs. But I thought for the most part, he was fine. It was a vintage Nola performance. We've seen that 1,000 times. He's going to go out and be fine his next start. I thought it was good that he was down in the zone. I thought that was important. And I'm not overly concerned. I thought Nola was mostly okay, made a couple of bad pitches, and they came back to bite him.
All right. And then Jordan Romano, your thoughts?
Oh, fine. He's fine. I thought the first – so my honest reaction was he threw the first pitch slider that should have been called strike, and I thought he hurt himself because his next pitch is like 93. His slider lost all movement. But I thought after he hit the guy and he got at least an out, that at least it was nice to see the fastball come back up to like 97 and he got the bite back on the slider. So again, not a great first start or first outing, but I didn't think it was, it wasn't a super big cause for concern because I thought the fastball got better as the outing went on.
All right. I have one more thing, but I'll see if you get to it in the take bag. If not, I'll fire it to you at the end. So let's take bag it.
Okay, well, there's a couple travesties that are currently happening. I'm getting live updates from the beat guy, so Gel tweeted out. So they enclosed the opposing bullpen at CBP.
What?
So you can't heckle them anymore.
No.
Now, while they're still on the mound, they can, but there is an internal thing where they can go hide if they want.
Why?
I mean, listen. The tush push is enough. To take this away on top of maybe the tush push is, again, it's just soft. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like, that is part of going to a Phillies game is heckling guys in the bullpen. And I don't know whose decision that was, but not happy about it.
Yeah, this is an outrageous decision. I don't have words for it. I'm disappointed in this decision. Whoever decided that this was the way to go, I'm incredibly disappointed in you. Like, that's really all I have.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I don't like that one bit. Also, while we've been doing the podcast, Victus, who does a lot of the Phillies bats.
So this is what I was gonna ask about the torpedo bats at the end, so let's get into it.
Very important stuff. He said you might see some torpedo bats this week.
All right, so just go. Torpedo bats go, and then we'll get into the Phillies part of it, but go.
So I don't get it, right? I don't like. I don't understand why you can all of a sudden make the sweet spot.
How is it
bigger?
The all of a sudden part is where I'm like, what? How is this just happening? Like, if you eat fine, you could do it. Like, how has no one thought to do this before? How is this just some MIT physicist now, 150 years into baseball being played? It's like, oh, I got an idea. What?
Well, and where was it in spring? I mean, I don't think they use this. I don't think they use the torpedo.
I don't think they did either. Yeah, it's a good point.
Just all of a sudden, the Yankees are hitting 700 home runs this weekend, and except Judge is too good to not use it. Yeah, he might hit 75 home runs, but he's like, nah, I don't need it. Anyway, yeah, I don't get it. You know, I want the Phillies to use it. Obviously, it looks.
Oh
like
yeah, use it. Sure, why not?
They've deemed it legal for now. You know, they've deemed it legal for now. We'll see. Until I see the Phillies use it, I don't think it should be illegal unless it's like outside the restrictions as to what a major league bat can be. But I need the Phillies to get their shipment in ASAP. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's really the number one thing is like, get the bats. What are we doing here? And why did this not get done before? But yeah, to your point, look, if it's within the rules, I don't know what they can do to change it now, right? Like in season, I don't know what you do, but at the same time, I do think that there is a chance that this becomes one of the bigger talking points of the entire season. And I think that's something that baseball probably doesn't want. So it's a fascinating one.
But do they want home runs and offense? You know, so it's a balance because it's not spider tack. You know what I mean?
No, like, I agree. Again, my gut says let it go. I'm with you. I'm just saying that it is the kind of thing that it depends on how it's like the perspective people have on it, how it's sold us, all this stuff. But if people look at it as cheating, it's going to be a thing, you know?
Well, I think the first team using it being the Yankees, probably won't help. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're damn right about that, buddy. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
The Yankees get
it was the Marlins and they were scoring a few extra runs. We're like, oh, look at the adorable Marlins trying to get any edge they can. How about it?
Yep. Yeah. So I'm not outraged by it. I
give them a lot of credit more than anything. I'm like, good for you. I wish we had thought of this first, and I can't believe no one thought of it before. Like, that's my first thought is like, good job thinking of this.
Yep. So and hopefully the Phillies can get them ASAP. I need Harper and a torpedo bat stat. So only a couple things here in the take back. Oh, I want to talk about Carlos Hernandez. So,
yeah, it wasn't a great first outing for Los.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a work in progress. I'm fine starting him in low leverage spots. That's what they did, and I still think the stuff plays. I still like he threw a 90 mile an hour splitter that went on a guy. The 98 was there. You know, I want to see it pick back up. I think they'll eventually find a way to get more spin or get a better shape on his curveball slider pitch or whatever. But I didn't think it was a disaster. I thought he flashed some things, and obviously home run happened. But I thought mostly fine. Everyone else in the bullpen. You know, I thought Kirkering in the first game was ridiculous. It was the most unlucky inning I think I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Alvarado.
Yeah.
I've seen Tanner Banks twice so far, which has been a delight. I mean, the bullpen's the bullpen. They need someone to pop, but the four they have that are the studs, you feel pretty good about. So Wheeler was Wheeler. Nola was Nola. And Lazardo was tantalizing. So that's the...
That's well done right there. That was good work by you.
The biggest thing to me that happened in the first weekend is that the Stump the Fans trivia question is back. And as a kid growing up, that was a staple. And I'm sad that it went away. But the Stump the Fans trivia question being back, now they just need to bring back the home run jackpot.
Oh, buddy.
They got to bring back the birthday shout outs. I just bring it back to the era of baseball that we grew up on. I shrieked when I saw the trivia question was back. I'm so happy. I was like, this is again a sign that nature is healing, that we got the trivia questions back.
I love it. I couldn't agree with you more.
You got a similar reaction, I'm sure.
Oh, I love it so much. Anything that brings me back to that time, I'm just fully in on, especially with baseball, you know, especially, you know, why not?
Well, dude, it's so weird. It's so weird. The little things that trigger
totally
earlier memories. So I got a new car over the weekend. Very excited.
No big deal to you.
Shout out to Scott Honda. But so it's a Prologue. So it's completely electric.
Whoa, look at you.
I know. It's awesome. Drives so smooth, but I guess it is made by GM, so like it's a GM Honda collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And the horn on it, when I go to lock it, is just like it hasn't changed since like my dad had a Tahoe growing up, and I heard the horn for the first time since I was like 10, and I was like, I'm back.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was so weird. I was like, Dad, listen to the horn, and he wasn't as shocked as I was.
He's like, yeah, whatever, you know? Jack. All right, cool, man.
Yeah, yeah,
nice. Why did you bother me with this?
You're 31, you big loser. but I was like, Dad, look, it's just like, well, it's like, no.
Dad, remember? No. Remember?
Can we have a catch? I'm just kidding. And then final thing, pretty sick thing, that after years of talking about the Phillies video yearbook and just wanting a small cameo, maybe even just the voice in it, that I made the Eagles video yearbook for the Phillies video yearbook.
That actually is one of the funniest things that could ever happen. Honestly, I pray that whoever made the video yearbook is a High Hopes fan and did it just as a bit, because it's hilarious if so.
It's so good. Yeah, dude. Yeah, and again, I'm just like you, James. I'm still basking in the glory of being a
Super
Bowl fan.
I know you are. Champ. We're just champs, you know? I feel like a champ every day, you know? It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's nice.
Exactly.
I want Bryce Harper to feel that, okay?
I know. Moniak's not in the lineup for the Rockies today. That is a sick thing.
Yeah.
Please get your priorities in order. And I think that's pretty much it.
That was definitely it, I think. all right. If you are listening to this quickly, assuming Tucker puts it up quickly, you never know with Tucker, but assuming it does, come say hi at the game. We'll be down at the game, certainly at least for part of the game. I know Jack's doing his show.
Are you going?
I'm going to the game, buddy. I will be there today. How about that?
Wow.
Down at the ballpark.
I didn't see that one coming.
I know. I like to shock people. So come say hi. If not, we will have a pod up after the Rockies series. And
I'm doing post game. So there
and post game, of course, every morning. The post game will be up in your feed or night, depending on how late Tucker stays up to post it. Right.
Yeah, well, the game's at 3 today, so I hope not.
Oh, yeah. I was talking more in general, but yes, you're right. It is a 3:00 game today. Thank God. All right. So keep your eye out for those pods. We'll be back together later in the week. And 2 of 3, Fritzy. We good with the 2 of 3 here?
Always 2 of 3. Always 2 of 3. Good to be back. Love the Phils. And talk to you soon.
Love the Phils. All right. You've heard some seltzer.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.